Mobility Matters is supported with funding from the North Jersey Transportation Planning Authority and the Federal Highway Administration in the interest of information exchange. The NJTPA and FHWA assume no liability for its contents.
Traveling down the turnpike, heading for the shore. A thought just then occurred to me I never thought before. I've been a lot of places, seen pictures of the rest. But of all the places I can't think of, I like Jersey best. Betting halls and shopping malls and good old Rutgers U. 47 shoe stores line Route 22.
Good morning and welcome to this episode of Mobility Matters. I'm your host, Bill Neary. Thank you for tuning in today. For those who are new to the show, I'm the executive director of Keep Middlesex Moving, Middlesex County Nonprofit Transportation Management Association. For over 30 years, KMM has been working with commuters, employers, local county and state governments to reduce traffic congestion and to improve our air quality. We promote and support carpools, vanpools, mass transit, and bicycling and walking initiatives. We provide timely information about road and travel conditions. We present safety programming for children, teens, and adults. You see, not only does mobility matter, safety does as well. Today we're going to be talking about bicycling. Well, I'm sure that everyone here knows, and I want to make sure our listeners know, that today and this month is National Bike Month. So commuters from across New Jersey and the country are participating in challenges for most of the days biked and the most miles biked. At KMM, we have a Bike Month Challenge. So you register at KMM.org, and we have prizes and great gifts and a lot of fun. So today I want to introduce our guests for the show. We have Assemblywoman Nancy Pinkin from the 18th Legislative District. Jack Molinar is the Director of Transportation at Rutgers University. We've got Councilman Jason Delia from Metuchen. I was so afraid of messing up your last name, Jason. Mm-hmm. I got your first name wrong. And Bob Takish, the President of the Edison Greenway Coalition. So let's just start the show with our first segment about importance of bicycling and things that are changing in the bicycling world. It's Nancy Pinkin is going to be a very strong advocate for bicycling. She's been a bicyclist herself. And so she recently co-sponsored a bill which allows the new e-bikes and the e-scooters to operate without a license. Assemblyman, I want to welcome you to the show. But before you tell us about your legislation, for our listeners who are not familiar about bike and e-scooters, actually, what are e-bikes and e-scooters?
Well, you know, e-bikes and e-scooters, somebody came up with a brilliant idea. Why not electrify the bikes? Why not put a motor on them so that, you know, a lot of people are biking and yet they need that extra oomph to get to where they want to go? Or they want to go a little bit further than they really feel like they can do on their own, under their own power. So once bikes became motorized, you know, we were like, well, are they bikes? Are they motorcycles? Are they, you know, what are they really? And so there became a need to differentiate between the motorcycles and the more motorized vehicles and these bicycle scooters that, you know, each day there's a new invention coming out. So the question was, should they be licensed? Should they be registered? Are they allowed to ride on the roads or the sidewalks? And so this legislation was an attempt to clarify that let's not go over the edge by making them so regulated that no one will use them. So the point was to say that you don't have to have a license, like a driver's license for this, that you don't have to have, you know, car insurance for them, that you don't have to have all of these additional regulations, and to try to really adapt. And I think not only this legislation, we're waiting for the governor to sign it, but we're saying, you know, I think that things will continue to change because it's not just New Jersey, but all across the country that people are trying to figure out what to do. And, you know, things happened like, you know, the more people had these type of bicycles, then you see them like all over the sidewalks. People can't walk by. So, there, you know, it's a learning curve between the different groups of trying to share the road.
But because we're also sharing the road is an important part. I think you're talking about adapting and changes in our culture. I think we learned pretty quickly how difficult it's going to be to ever build our way out of congestion. So sharing the roads with bicycles and encouraging people to bicycle of all ages, and that's where an e-bike is so much better because it's not just for kids. It makes it a lot easier type of transportation. So I think it's great that this legislation takes away some of these questions and hurdles.
Well, it's cleaner, it's more environmental, it's better for people's health. So it works in so many different ways.
And do you think that then, since we're looking at so many redevelopments in communities and the change in the infills in some of our urban areas, this bicycle legislation is certainly going to help in a lot of ways of people getting from place to place within the cities and within the towns, which is great. I think that's tremendous. So you've been working with the bicycles for years. You've been a bicyclist for years. And I think understanding this makes it a lot easier for people to appreciate what these people go through on the bikes. But you think it's not just the scooters and the e-bikes, is bicycling in general is going to be improved dramatically by having an easier way to describe what it is and promote it.
Well, and I think, you know, the one trend that's really exciting is this issue of sharing bikes. You know, not everybody can afford a bike. Not everybody has to have their own bike. But if you're taking the train, you know, what do you do with your bike before, you know, when you get to the train station? What do you do if you want to go? Like, there are areas that, you know, in Boston, for example, you know, you can just go from one building to the next. You don't have to really plan where you're going to go. You just pick up a bike, you go to the store, you leave the bike there and in a secure place or in a secure way, and then you go to the library and you pick up the bike somewhere else, a different bike, and it's so much more fluid. It's kind of like that new way of not having to own everything but to share it.
Well, ride sharing is certainly going to be in the future. We've discussed that at other shows, with the ride sharing components of cars. And obviously with the autonomous and vehicles coming along, there's going to be changes there. But the sharing of bikes is an important part. And you use Boston as an example. We're going to be getting into other segments where we're talking about right here in Middlesex County some of the things that are going to certainly take bike sharing to a different level than we've seen. We know that already, that how Jersey City, New York, Hoboken are all doing the bike sharing.
And Metuchen, yeah.
Well, we're going to get to Metuchen. We're going to get to Rutgers, too. So those are two places that are really taking us to that level. So I think it's great that we can do those kind of things. And your legislation makes it possible for people to use bikes regularly and at the same time be able to use the newer technology bicycles. And I think you're right about the technology changing. It's definitely going to be changing. And these type of vehicles are going to be much more prevalent when it's easier to get, cheaper to get. They'll probably come down in price. And at the same time, people get to use them.
But, you know, as you said, it's important to adjust and to adapt our regulations to handle it. Now, one of the issues that we have to be concerned about is the injury and the impact on people's health. While it's healthier to ride a bike, we do have concerns about the accidents that are happening. And so that's where that ride, the road sharing is so important, and developing the infrastructure to be able to accommodate that is so important. And where we talk about, you know, we're always talking about money, how can we afford this? And we had a conversation ahead of time about, you know, exactly that. But people say that if we took that money that's being spent on the injuries that are happening, the hospitalizations, whether it's non-fatal, even the cost involved with the fatal accidents, we could put that into the infrastructure and prevent those that are happening. And even though there is that risk for injury, the experts really feel that it's still much healthier to ride a bike, but we just have to have a way to do it safely. And that's our ultimate priority, is to make sure we can do these things safely.
Well, I'm sure you know about Keep Middlesex Moving's Bike Rodeo Program. We're actually working within the school districts and with the police departments in various communities. Our next bike rodeo in East Brunswick is going to be on May 19th. We're actually teaching the children bike safety. Make sure they start at an early age so as they get older, they can understand and appreciate what's going on there. And in terms of promoting bicycles and bike lanes and bike proposals, I always use the example about subsidies for transit of any kind. They always say that mass transit subsidies shouldn't really be something. But the most tax-subsidized mode of transportation we have in New Jersey is the single-occupancy vehicle. We spend more money on roads and maintenance and building and everything else than any other type of transportation. So paying to put in bike lanes is a good investment because you can increase the capacity of the roads, provide that healthy lifestyle you're talking about, and clean the environment. It's a great program. So other types of promotions going on in the state that you may know about, that things that are happening that's going to perhaps encourage more bicycle usage. I know how big it is down the shore areas. It's coming bigger in Middlesex County, too.
I think it's really bigger all over. You know, there are certain – one of the important things that the Bicycle Resource Center talked about was having – updating the bike paths, making sure people know, like, if you're going to go on certain bike trips, like, where's the best and the safest place to do that? You know, I think we're changing in East Brunswick. Certainly when you were mayor, you started the bike path going from Heavenly Farms over to – Crystal Springs, which is the community pool. So developing those ways that people can ride safely is so important. One of the things that we talked about with this legislation was it sort of went back and forth through different amendments of whether or not people can use the bikes and the motorized bikes on the sidewalks. And in some towns, it's safe one way, and in other towns, it's safe the other way. So this maintains the municipal a right to evaluate that, but it's something that people have to keep doing to make sure that, again, we're able to be outside, be in a healthier environment, and to do it safely.
And I think one of the things we've also learned with bike paths in different communities is when you have bike paths, people are always concerned about how it's going to impact car traffic. And basically, it doesn't. Cars may slow down a little bit, but slowing down a little bit doesn't take a whole lot more time to get to place to place. And I think that's where it's important to share the road. Sharing the road is so important, along with sharing bikes, which we'll be talking about as we go ahead. I think you're right about the trends. I think about it changing dramatically. I think certainly a younger generation sees a lot more mobile things, and also the cost of having a car. The nice parts about bike lanes that I think are good for safety reasons are critically important, but people don't necessarily appreciate the fact that for many people, a bicycle is their only mode of transportation.
So true.
Yeah, and I tell people that if you want to go proof of this, just look at the back of any restaurant that you might go to, and you will see bicycles chained to the back of the restaurant. The people who are working there are not making enough money to buy a car or afford a car, but they certainly use a bicycle for their mode of transportation.
It's so true. One of the other pieces of legislation has to deal with giving people that 3-foot barrier between the car. So when we have a big focus on the move over law, but not just for emergency vehicles and for workers that are working on highways and on public roads, but also for the bicycle. So if the bicycle's there, don't think that you can't move over. You know, you want to protect the bicyclists, because if they have an accident, it's going to affect you too. It's going to hurt your car. And another important feature is when people are driving, to make sure they look before they open their door when they get out of their car, so they're not knocking that bicyclist off their vehicle.
Well, the adaptations we're going to be facing as we go ahead. Thank you, Assemblywoman. I think with your leadership on this is going to help us make the state even much more safer and certainly much more bicycle-friendly. Thank you so much.
May is New Jersey Walk and Bike to School Month. Students, parents, teachers, and school staff all across New Jersey will be walking and bicycling to school throughout the month of May. Walking and bicycling to school not only increase physical activity and encourage healthy lifestyles among children, but they also improve the environment through decreased traffic volumes and better air quality. Most importantly, students who are physically active, like walking, bicycling, skateboarding to school, arrive ready to learn and perform better in class. So go outside and get some exercise with your kids. Celebrate 4NJ Walk and Bike to School Month by leaving your car at home and walking or bicycling with your children to school. Anyone interested in participating in Middlesex County can contact their Safe Routes to School coordinator at KMM, Chris Gonda, for assistance with your event. Information is also available on saferoutesnj.org if you don't live in Middlesex County. Have you ever wondered if you need a helmet when you ride your bike or skate? Well, studies show that if you use a seatbelt in your car, have a smoke detector in your home, and look both ways before crossing a street, you certainly do. But if you cut your grass barefoot, play golf in thunderstorms, and pinch the grounding pin off the 3-prong plugs, you might not want to bother. Personal safety is all about your own head and how much you value it. If you have something to protect, wear a bike helmet when you ride. Do you ride your bike to work? Maybe you ride your bike to school or to run local errands. If you do, you qualify to take part in the 2019 Bike Month Challenge. Register with KMM and track your bike rides for the entire month of May. Everyone who enters is eligible to win prizes. Visit KMM.org and register today. That's KMM.org. Get on your bike and ride. This ad was produced and paid for with funding from the North Jersey Transportation Planning Authority and the Federal Highway Administration, which assume no liability for its contents.
Traveling down the turnpike, heading for the shore.
I thought thought just then occurred to me I never thought before. I've been a lot of places, seen pictures of the rest, but of all the places I can't think.
Thank you and welcome back to segment two. Mobility Matters. Today as we're discussing bicycling. We're here with Assemblywoman Nancy Pinkin. We're here with Jack Molinar, the Director of Transportation at Rutgers University, Councilman Jason Delia of Metuchen, and Bob Takish, the President of the Edison Greenway Coalition. I'm your host, Bill Neary. I want to thank you for tuning in today. Our next guest, Jack Molinar, is the Director of Transportation at Rutgers, and he's been leading a project to bring bike sharing to Rutgers. The Assemblyman was talking about how bike sharing goes in some of the bigger cities. Well, here we are in New Brunswick talking about Rutgers University and their students. Jack, the title we're using is Rutgers Night Cycle, right? And the program in a minute, but tell us most about what the current bicycling environment is like at Rutgers.
Well, it's been improving over the years. It's been getting better. There's more bicycle lanes. The city of New Brunswick has been putting in a lot of bicycle lanes.
And the bikes, the city of New Brunswick has been doing that, and the students are using it.
The students
and the residents of New Brunswick use them a lot also.
Absolutely. That's been helping. Piscataway has been putting in a lot of bicycle lanes, and that's been helping out. We've been putting in bicycle lanes on our campuses when we do construction projects. We've been adding a lot of bicycle racks. We've been adding bicycle lockers. We have the racks on front of the buses. We've had that for decades. And this is something that we've been pushing for years and getting the infrastructure set up so we're ready for a bicycle share.
Well, and that's the other part, of course. The Rutgers students don't necessarily have gigantic storage areas or rooms to put their bicycles in. So if they even wanted the bike, it's great to be able to have a bike sharing concept.
Absolutely, because for years now, what we've been doing is a bicycle rental program, or my department rents out bicycles very cheaply for students because we wanted them to ride. And many of them hadn't rode a bike since they were in elementary school. And a lot of them just wanted to try it out. And our bicycle rental was really not set up for that, whereas bicycle share is. And like you mentioned, the students don't have room in their rooms, in their residence hall, in the dormitory. The room is just not there to store a bike, and they don't really want the maintenance of it as well. So our bicycle rental program has done well, but it's only limited to how much we could do because they had to rent it either for a month or for a semester. And it's done well, but we knew bike share was the next thing, and that's what we were waiting to do. And we've been very deliberate on how we've been going about it and where we are. And in fact, I'm very happy that it's taken a couple of years to get to it, because the bicycle share industry has improved so much.
40 plus years ago in college, we had an absent-minded professor in our building that he would teach in had entrance on both sides. So what we would do is wherever he rode his bike on one side during class, we'd take it to the other side of the building. So when he came out, he'd always be confused about where he left his bike. It was one of the fun things we did in college.
Wow, you led a very exciting life there, Bill.
Oh, it was incredible. You know, there was no room in our dorms for the bike, so we never stole the bike. We just moved it.
Good to know.
But I do think Night Cycle is going to be a little innovative. I mean, I know one of the issues about city bikes and everything else has to do with the docking stations and the amount of labor going into moving bikes from here to there and everything else. So Night Cycle has a different kind of program.
Started looking at it to where they were just going to have to lock up the bike. But now what's great is that in towns around us, which we'll talk to in your next segment, have gone to the new technology where you don't even have to lock it up. You just put the kickstand down, you lock it, and it's a locking mechanism on the back wheel, and then you walk away. So it's actually so much better than what we could ever imagine. So that's where and the fact that it's there's an app for the smartphones. I mean, this is truly going to make the system really go. In fact, what's nice is also it's a regional. What we're looking at, where it's not just going to be Rutgers University. It will be Highland Park is going to be part of this program, and also the city of New Brunswick and portions of Piscataway. And we might even reach out to the train station, the Edison train station as well, will be part of it. So that way, if someone commutes via train and wants to get off at the Edison train station and go to the Livingston campus or the Bush campus, they can pick up a bike there. So that will... That's how the original program was set up, and that's how we're looking to do it. And hopefully that this will be ready to go by September.
Excellent. And the other part, of course, with the GPS technology in there, you know where the bikes are at all times. And so there's a way to kind of fluctuate the pricing of the rentals for the commuters by not having them all go to the same location. There won't be necessarily large segments of emptiness and large segments of overflowing.
Well, yeah, and that's what the good thing about this is that these companies have been doing it for a while, and they kind of they see the ebbs and flows, and then they could adjust the prices based on what they need and what they don't need. We're really hoping that the price point is low enough that students will take advantage of it. I believe it is. We're not looking to subsidize the program. We're hoping that it will sustain itself, because then it will last for years and years, and that's kind of our goal. We don't really want to subsidize another thing, because the bus system is heavily subsidized at this point. So we want to make it so – actually, what we the reason Rutgers really needs a bike share is we have too many riders on our buses. We need the students, because it's faster to get around at Rutgers via bike than in any other form of transportation. Even driving, because the bicycle can get you closer to the door of where you want to go to. So that's why we know students will really – latch on to this, and we're hoping that it will actually pull some riders off the buses, which will then make it easier for people that don't want to ride a bike to use our buses.
And for a person who works in New Brunswick and has to be behind Rutgers buses all the time, okay, we know how those buses are flowing back and forth and here and there, filled with people. I mean, when you see the double buses just overflowing almost, you know that stopping and moving and everything else ties up traffic for people like me, who probably won't be riding a bike a whole lot, but at the same time, it's going to be good for everybody in the community to be able to have that. And the students get this advantage of saving time.
Yeah, and it's really going to be a push great for the city of New Brunswick, because they have a lot of residents that are biking as it is now. Also Highland Park, where if they to get to the train station or get over to New Brunswick, it's going to be much easier for both of those communities, for all the residents of those two communities, to really have more mobility choices than they have now.
And that's great. You know, it came in. We're going to help you promote this and make sure people know it's there. We're going to be working on it. Jack is very active. He also works as our chairman of our board at KMM. He's been on the board now for 15 years.
A good amount of time. Close to 15 years.
Yes, I know. And some of his ideas and suggestions have brought us. It's good that as we've changed from just carpool and vanpool into bicycles and pedestrian and mass transit, we have somebody like Jack's expertise to help us with that. So thank you for your service and volunteering your time, Jack.
Thank you, Bill.
The same time, when we're talking about your service time, you think the Rutgers bus system is something that's really a massive job. And I can imagine the kind of issues. I know I don't even want to imagine the type of issues you may have to face. But moving that many students from place to place around campus that goes all the way from Livingston to Cook is not an easy thing to do on a regular basis.
No, it's the only way the Rutgers community works. You can't have a class on Livingston and the next class on Cook and have everyone drive a car. It's absolutely impossible. So the only way Rutgers University works in New Brunswick is because of the bus system. I always tell people that no one would have ever created a university town like this logically. It's just because there's just no way. It just doesn't make any sense. But it happened organically. So we have what we have, and the system, the bus system, actually knits it all together. Everything is only a couple of miles apart. So that's why it's perfect for the bicycle commute. But the buses do make it work. And when I started, the weekend buses weren't running 24 hours, and now they do. And mostly because there's a lot of late-night study groups on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights around 2 or 3 a.m. So that's why we run our buses 24/7 on the weekends.
And it is the biggest university bus system?
It's the largest university bus system based on total volume of passengers. There's other universities that might run more buses, but they run around empty. They just want to waste money. But I think you missed my joke of the late night study groups on the weekend, Bill. But
No, I didn't miss it.
You just let it go. Okay, fine.
Well, I was going back to my college days again, Jack. I didn't want that to happen, you know. But I think it's great that that Rutgers is being so proactive, and I think what's great also beyond the Rutgers students having the advantage of doing this, the city of New Brunswick is going to improve because of it too. A more bikeable city is certainly a great goal to have.
And that's what's nice is that the city of New Brunswick, Piscataway, and Highland Park are all really great partners for Rutgers. And I know it's going to improve their mobility. There's a lot of Rutgers employees and students that live in all three areas. So that's part of it. So that's why we feel it's a good partnership between all of us. And we can take on the management of it, and they won't have to. And them being partners, because they need to be, because if the bikes are not being used well or being left in areas that are not safe, all those municipalities need to be on board with this. So they're integral partners in this, and they're a part of the committee that is coming up with who will be providing the service.
And you're hoping to be able to start this service in September. I know it's taken some time.
Yes, it's taken
some time. I know
there's
a lot of details that had to go into it. I know you've been starting with the grant program, which can help get the seed money in there, and then hopefully it works
Yeah, we're not going with the grant money anymore.
You're not going with the grant money. I did not know that.
Yeah, that's why it's by not using the grant. The grant money was a little too restrictive. It was federal dollars, and it wouldn't have allowed us to use some of the companies that we'll be able to use. So,
that actually makes it a little bit better. It makes it easier because, I mean, it's nice getting federal grants, but at the same time, there's always strings attached to them.
Yes. So, and then that money can be used by something else that doesn't have the alternatives that we have. I mean, companies are willing to come in without any subsidies. And if that's the case, then we shouldn't be using the government funds for that.
Exactly. Now, let me ask questions like bike stations that you're going to be putting or these locations, if there's going to be any specific ones, like is it going to be like a definite depot someplace where you're encouraging people? Or?
Well, we went through for years. We did some planning on it and came up with what we considered activity hubs. And okay. But that's what we were going to – the preferred vendor when that comes in, we'll be then talking to them and working with them to see whether this is something that they want to adopt or not adopt. And then we'll change as we go along. As you get more data, you might change a hub. We originally were thinking of it a different format of hubs and activity hubs where we would create, say, the football stadium would be an activity hub for a day, for a game. And then after that, many people might not be riding there. So that's some of the things that we'll work with the vendor on to see if that's something they need to do or not do. But it's a fairly large area, and we're hoping that we can get enough bikes out there that they're used a lot.
Well, I know your visitor center at Rutgers gets about 35,000 to 40,000 people a year who get the bus tours around the campus. So maybe when it gets all started, you can give a little bike tours too. People might want to do that.
Well, and as you brought up the buses, just think of talking about numbers. We get around close to 60,000 passenger trips a day during this semester. So if we just peel off 1% or 2%, we'll have an amazing bicycle share program.
Exactly right. And I think the students are going to want it too. I think that's the important part is the students are looking forward to doing that. I know if you have the time and you want to ride a bike, it's a lot easier and a lot more comfortable and a lot more healthy to ride a bike than climb into one of your buses.
And we're really hoping that we can do e-bikes and e-scooters.
Well, thank you, Jack. Best of luck at Rutgers. Keep up the good work. Rutgers Transportation is a shining star for Middlesex County.
Thank
We're going to take a little break now. We'll come back for our next segment to talk about how bike sharing actually works in a municipality in the town of Metuchen, the borough of Metuchen.
Do you ride your bike to work? Maybe you ride your bike to school or to run local errands. If you do, you qualify to take part in the 2019 Bike Month Challenge. Register with KMM and track your bike rides for the entire month of May. Everyone who enters is eligible to win prizes. Visit KMM.org and register today. That's KMM.org. Get on your bike and ride. This ad was produced in paid for with funding from the North Jersey Transportation Planning Authority and the Federal Highway Administration, which assume no liability for its contents. Have you ever wondered if you need a helmet when you ride your bike or skate? Well, studies show that if you use a seatbelt in your car, have a smoke detector in your home, and look both ways before crossing the street, you certainly do. But if you cut your grass barefoot, play golf in thunderstorms, and pinch the grounding pin off of three-prong plugs, you might not want to bother. Personal safety is all about your own head and how much you value it. If you have something to protect, wear a bike helmet when you ride. May is New Jersey Walk and Bike to School Month. Students, parents, teachers, and school staff all across New Jersey will be walking and bicycling to school throughout the month of May. Walking and bicycling to school not only increase physical activity and encourage healthy lifestyles among children, but they also improve the environment through decreased traffic volumes and better air quality. Most importantly, students who are physically active, like walking, bicycling, skateboarding to school, arrive ready to learn and perform better in class. So go outside and get some exercise with your kids. Celebrate 4NJ Walk and Bike to School Month by leaving your car at home and walking or bicycling with your children to school. Anyone interested in participating in Middlesex County can contact their Safe Routes to School coordinator at KMM, Chris Gonda, for assistance with your event. Information is also available on saferoutesnj.org if you don't live in Middlesex County.
Traveling down the turnpike, heading for the shore. A thought just then occurred to me I never thought before. I've been a lot of places, seen pictures of the rest.
Welcome back to our episode of Mobility Matters. I'm your host, Bill Neary, from Keep Middlesex Moving. Our guest today is Assemblywoman Nancy Pinkin. Jack Molinar is the Director of Transportation at Rutgers University. We have Councilman Jason Delia from Metuchen, and Bob Takish, the president of the Edison Greenway Coalition. We're talking about bicycling today and bicycling in general, but at the same time specifically, we look at it at a state level where the Assemblywoman has legislation to encourage bicycles, the e-bikes, the new modern technology bikes, and the actual use of bicycles, which has been on a state level a major program. Rutgers University doing the next advancement by doing an incredible job with bike sharing when they bring that into the city of New Brunswick, Piscataway, and Highland Park, where the students and anybody basically has the opportunity to do some serious bike sharing. But then you look at the tiny brainy borough of Metuchen, and they've always been a walkable type of community. They're redeveloped. They've done now with the train station and the new developments coming to town with Whole Foods and everything else has made Metuchen even a more walkable town than ever before. But you have a contract in Metuchen with Lime Bike, a private vendor.
That's right.
Exactly. What does that mean? What do you hope to achieve with all of this, Jason?
Yeah, so we brought in Lime Bike just a little under a year ago, right at the end of August. This idea started with my colleague, Councilman Todd Pagel, who had used bike share in different cities that he's gone to, and he thought it would work really well within the borough. He came to myself, at the time I was on the town's Traffic and Transportation Committee as a volunteer, and a smaller group of people to sort of vet that idea and understand, like, would it be a fit for us? Once we figured out that we kind of expanded it. We brought it to the borough administrator. We brought it to various businesses in town. We have a business improvement district. We brought it to the executive director of the business improvement district. Eventually, we sort of settled on this idea of dockless bike sharing within the borough. After an RFP process, we ended up selecting Lime Bike, they started right in late August.
Well, let me ask a question about Lime Bike as a private vendor. Mm-hmm. They obviously had to see a value to coming into Metuchen also.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not a big town in so many ways, but at the same time, they could see your community as something that's going to welcome a bike sharing program.
Absolutely. And we reached out to them, but they were very receptive right from the beginning with us. And what kind of shocked me even a little bit was once we did go with the RFP process, we had vendors we never even spoke with that came to us that wanted to come to Metuchen. And there was two other very good vendors that gave us pause and made us, you know, figure out exactly which one we were going to go with.
Now, I think the assembly movement had brought up about the fact that people are adopting different ways of looking at bicycles, and these bicycle companies, these e-bikes, everything are starting to see the trends. That things are changing dramatically. And so you can have these kind of discussions. Now, exactly how does it seem to work in your town? Are people using them?
Oh, people use them all the time. So, like I said, we started in late August. So we actually kind of got a late start on it. We missed all spring. We missed most of the summer. But even in that time, we had really great numbers in the fall. And even over the winter, people still use them over the winter. And we had a fairly mild winter this year. So they still got use. And we're very much excited to, for the warmer months to start up. I just got an email from Lime last week that they're hoping to actually expand our fleet within the coming week.
Wow. Yeah. Now, they're expanding their fleet. Now, what does the borough have to do for all this? Are you actually monitoring it? Are they giving you reports? How does it work?
So that's maybe one of the best parts. Lime takes care of almost absolutely everything. They're the ones.
Also.
They're the ones that take care of maintenance. They're the ones that move the bikes around to the various locations. We do have sort of it's dockless, like I said, but we sort of have hot spots. You know, we have our train station that we want to have bikes at. We have our various parks, and after someone grabs a bike from the train and drives it home and parks it in front of their house overnight, Lime will come and sort of move those bikes around. They do provide reports to us as well, and that's probably one of the most exciting things for me in my other life. I'm a software engineer, and I've been building technology that helps people collect data and analyze data for my entire career. So that was one of the most important parts for me was that Linebike provides anonymized data to us where we are able to see where these bikes are going, and we might maybe use that information to put more bike racks. We're able to see a heat map of where they are moving on a map, which roadways they're using, which roadways they're utilizing. And right now, myself, I'm I'm now the liaison to the Traffic and Transportation Committee in Metuchen. We are working on putting together a bicycle network using, number one, all the reports and the studies we've done with Keep Middlesex Moving over the years they've helped us with, and taking the data that Linebike is giving us and sort of combining those two to understand how people are trying to move throughout the borough and how we can develop a bicycle network to help them do that.
That'd be a great idea. Now, one of the things the Assemblywoman also mentioned is about the discussion about bicycles on sidewalks. Does Metuchen allow bicycles on sidewalks?
So, yes, you're allowed to ride a bicycle on the sidewalk in Metuchen. Obviously, we would rather have them give them a permanent place within the roadway to make them first users of the roadway, just as like cars, by building out this infrastructure.
But your main street is a state highway, which makes it always more complicated.
Main Street's a county road.
Oh, I'm thinking 27. I'm sorry. Okay, you're right. Main Street is a county road. The state highway still cuts through your town.
Yes, it does.
And the traffic you get is not coming from Metuchen necessarily. It's coming from every place else.
Yeah, and that's one of our challenges. We are completely surrounded by Edison. Edison has grown exponentially around us. Like we mentioned at the beginning of the show, congestion is not going anywhere. So that was definitely one of the drivers for this idea, was how can we make it easier for our residents to move around our borough, so that they don't have to deal with that congestion. More people on bikes. That's one less car on the road, but more importantly, like being able for our residents to get around in a more convenient way was one of our hopes for this program.
Are Lime bikes only for adults, though? There's really no kids' Lime bikes yet.
So I believe at the age of 16 to rent and start using one of the Lime bikes. I've certainly seen plenty of older children, high schoolers riding around the Lime bikes. We actually put Lime bikes at our high school to have them there for the kids to take and ride home, or if they have after school program, which maybe they weren't planning on attending, they have a way to get home by having a Lime bike there.
And they don't have too far to go in Metuchen.
That's exactly right.
It's not one of these mega towns. It's great. I think Metuchen's always been a great borough for us to work with at KMM. I mean, you were the first town to allow us to paint the pavement to distract the pedestrian issues and paint actually on the sidewalk about look up.
That's right.
You're a pedestrian. And they've done so many programs that with us. We're really happy to see that you're encouraging it. But I think it's also part of the courage, the leadership of the town that you provide is doing these innovative ways of doing things. It's how when we did a research thing several years ago trying to define what Central Jersey is, and these consultants came from Indiana and California to help us define Central Jersey. And both of them came back with the same kind of thing, is you go to any Midwestern town, most downtowns are boarded up because Walmart on the interstate has taken away all the business. Mm-hmm. New Jersey, and especially Central New Jersey, has these beautiful walkable downtowns that are thriving. You could have a Walmart in Edison, but there's still Metuchen's a place to go. And I think it's great that you guys in downtown look at this as a valuable asset. And I think it's great that you're working on those type of things. Bicycling is going to be important. And if you hit one of the restaurants and maybe bring your own wine or have a little bit of beer, you're not going to want to necessarily get back on the highway. So somehow, if you can take a leisurely drive through some back roads on a bicycle, it's probably an easier way to get on.
Absolutely.
Well, now, you said Lime Bike is looking at expanding the fleet. Do you know how many bikes you have right now?
I believe right now at the moment, because they took some in for maintenance over the winter. So I think we went down to about 20 at the moment, but they're looking to go up to about 60 bikes, and they're very hopeful with the legislation that's hopefully going to be signed very soon that we've got some actually e-bikes into the town.
That was my next question. Yeah. Excellent. E-bikes might come in. Good.
Yeah. And if I could just say about e-bikes, I've had the chance to ride e-bikes. They are, to me, a game changer. Obviously, electric vehicles in general are going to be very important in the future. But for my money, electric bicycles, pedal assist bicycles, make even more of an impact on the environment and being able to get around and mobility. Even with an electric vehicle, you're still most likely a single occupant in congestion, right? So you may not be emitting any greenhouse gases, but the gas guzzler in front of you and behind you are. Electric bicycles really make getting around so much easier especially for all those short trips, which most trips are short trips.
Well, the EV bikes are something interesting that we talked about, but EV cars, mm-hmm. we had a show on a couple of weeks ago talking about the future of EVs, but you're absolutely right. It's still a car. Mm-hmm. It's still a car, and it's not necessarily being shared by anybody else. So you're going to have the same kind of issues there that you have to face. And I think there will be changes in automobiles, and there will be changes with autonomous vehicles, but bicycles is certainly
a great alternative to any of these type of things. So thank you, Councilman. Appreciate the work you're doing in Metuchen. Metuchen could be a leader, continuously be a leader in these type of programs and innovators looking at it. So we're going to take another little break, and we'll be back in a minute. Thank you so much, Jason.
Thanks.
May is New Jersey Walk and Bike to School Month. Students, parents, teachers, and school staff all across New Jersey will be walking and bicycling to school throughout the month of May. Walking and bicycling to school not only increase physical activity and encourage healthy lifestyles among children, but they also improve the environment through decreased traffic volumes and better air quality. Most importantly, students who are physically active, like walking, bicycling, skateboarding to school, arrive ready to learn and perform better in class. So go outside and get some exercise with your kids. Celebrate 4NJ Walk and Bike to School Month by leaving your car at home and walking or bicycling with your children to school. Anyone interested in participating in Middlesex County can contact their Safe Routes to School coordinator at KMM, Chris Gonda, for assistance with your event. Information is also available on saferoutesnj.org if you don't live in Middlesex County. Have you ever wondered if you need a helmet when you ride your bike or skate? Well, studies show that if you use a seatbelt in your car, have a smoke detector in your home, and look both ways before crossing a street, you certainly do. But if you cut your grass barefoot, play golf in thunderstorms, and pinch the grounding pin off the three-prong plugs, you might not want to bother. Personal safety is all about your own head and how much you value it. If you have something to protect, wear a bike helmet when you ride. Do you ride your bike to work? Maybe you ride your bike to school or to run local errands. If you do, you qualify to take part in the 2019 Bike Month Challenge. Register with KMM and track your bike rides for the entire month of May. Everyone who enters is eligible to win prizes. Visit KMM.org and register today. That's KMM.org. Get on your bike and ride. This ad was produced and paid for with funding from the North Jersey Transportation Planning Authority and the Federal Highway Administration, which assume no liability for its contents.
Traveling down the turnpike, heading for the shore. A thought just then occurred to me I never thought before. I've been a lot of places, seen pictures of the rest.
Welcome back to Mobility Matters. My name is Bill Neary. I'm your host from Keep Middlesex Moving. We're joined today by Assemblywoman Nancy Pinkin, Jack Molinar, the Director of Transportation at Rutgers University, Councilman Jason Delia of Metuchen, and Robert Takish, the President of Edison Greenway Coalition. Bob, as President of Edison Greenways, not everybody is aware of the fact that we have a tremendous, tremendous asset in Middlesex County here called the Greenway. Now, the Greenway is a connection, hopefully designed someday as we go through the segments, of connecting pretty much north to south on the east coast of America. But Middlesex County, we have a group with the friends that work on this and the park in central New Jersey. So I want to start with the basics, Bob. Where's the Greenway for those who don't know? And then what's it all about?
The Middlesex Greenway is a county park, what we call a linear park. This is a paved multi-use trail. It runs 3.5 miles, and that extends from Metuchen through Edison and then ends up in Ford section of Woodbridge Township.
But, Bob, if you're going to be going from Woodbridge to Metuchen, aren't you worried about taking the bikes across or walking across Route 1? Isn't that a problem?
We don't have to worry about that because we were lucky enough to have, during the widening of U.S. Highway 1, to have a bike-pedestrian bridge put over the top of the widened Route 1. And that became the Middlesex Greenway Trail in that same old railroad corridor that proceeded in that exact location. So now when you're driving on Route 1 in the Edison area between the 287 interchange and the Menlo Park, you'll go underneath the Greenway Bridge, and it's by the Tano Mall there in Edison. So that is a way that you don't have to worry about Route 1 access. And if you don't want to go up the incline and of the bridge, you also have the option to go around on the sidewalk underneath Route 1 on Amboy Avenue, which is parallel at that area.
So basically the Greenway is a great access for walking and biking,
yes,
without having to worry about cars and traffic and trucks.
Absolutely. That was one of the goals that we wanted to see with the three communities looking to build that. In that area, with the county's help, they were able to acquire their abandoned rail property in 2002, And with the constructions and bids, it was opened up in September of 2012. So since that time, it's growing with its popularity, particularly on weekends. And we also have future plans to extend it. So right now, the nonprofit Edison Greenway Group works as the financial arm and publicist for the county, who maintains the trail that has multiple access points. And we'll go over that in a few minutes so people can know some of the features of the trail and get a better idea as to how they can get to and from it.
Well, you're talking about an extension. I mean, it's 3.5 miles now, which is a nice, leisurely way to do things, but it's also going to be connected. And that's the critical part. It's almost the Appalachian Trail for bikes and without having to go through the mountains directly now. Right. And it's going in different ways. As time goes on, the dream is to connect it from, what, Maine to Florida?
Right. There is a planned trail that is called the East Coast Greenway, and it runs from Maine to Key West, Florida. And the different segments that are open on this trail, when you go from the protected bike pedestrian trail to a street connection to get back on the trail, is expanding. And the segment here in central New Jersey, the Middlesex Greenway in the Edison area, is the central part of it. So technically you can get on the Middlesex Greenway in Edison and go north to Maine and south to Florida. We've already had people, including some of our board members, who have done that entire 2,000-mile trip over a three-month period, going from Maine all the way down to Florida. But the main point is we want to have it for the local and regional access. This trail here is an alternative to driving your car. You can get around spot to spot. You can get around just for exercising. And we've really seen the great improvement having a health benefit out of it. So we've got now partners from both the county health, the municipal health departments, and the Hackensack Meridian JFK Hospital to now help us with Rutgers also to get some health benefits for everybody. Every age can benefit out of that. And so we're looking forward to seeing that now more widespread and usable so that you may hear of a new program called Walk with a Doc. And what that means, you can go out and walk on that trail under your supervision of your medical provider so that you can help therapy, you can help weight loss, you can gain some other wellness benefits. So we have an event coming up, which I would just like to publicize now, June 1st, the first Saturday in June, over at the Metuchen Trailhead, which is on Middlesex Avenue. We're having at 9 o'clock in the morning to about noon a National Trails Day celebration. This is done nationwide, and we are the 12,000-mile rail trail here in America, which we got designated back in 2010. The trail is going to be open for the public to come and see what you can do for this participation on the trail, be it walking or biking. They will have a walk that's going to be health-oriented with a doctor leading the walk. And we have other groups that are going to participate. We'll have vendors and tables there, refreshments. So please, if you have time, stop by on Saturday, June 1st to see what the trail can offer.
Are we going to put Jason Dooley, our councilman, in charge of the weather that day, or how are we going to do that?
We always all encourage that. There's no such thing as bad weather unless it's a real bad storm. But
do you anticipate rain or shine kind of thing, or no?
We try to do it with the 80% success rate.
Good. Yeah, that's pretty good success rate. Well, the Greenway you're talking about in Middlesex County does go from Woodbridge to Metuchen.
Right.
It's a beautiful walk, tree-lined. It's a comfortable walk. You're not alone, basically. There's trailheads you get on in several different locations.
Correct.
Some of the more popular ones, of course, as at Tano Mall. Right. We can literally park your car behind the mall and get onto the trailhead and walk a mile. Right. You don't have to do the whole 3.5 miles.
Correct.
So the other part, of course, is it's going to be connected, I guess, through Roosevelt Park in the future, and then right. go down to the DNR Canal and go that way.
Correct.
New Brunswick. Yeah. So it continues to be connected as we go along. Sometimes you may have to go on a street.
Absolutely.
But a lot of it is designed in the future to try and get as much off the road as you can.
And we don't want to abandon those connectivity options. That's something that will really be an asset to everybody in this very largely populated area. So that's something that you're going to hear announcements on periodically. The extensions of the trail north would go from the rest of Metuchen all the way up behind St. Joe's through North Edison and eventually hit South Plainfield. It's the same rail corridor that's not being used, and we're having the county still negotiate with the railroad companies. There's three of them that actually have jurisdiction that have to sign off to allow a trail to be put in. And if we have to lease a segment of that corridor, what they call a railroad trails, to get the trail put in, and then we can have additional access points for that segment of the area. The other opportunities also go eastward from Ford's all across to Perth Amboy. The same rail corridor is not being used there, and that would give it a an alternative route for a whole host of other users that we're really reaching out for.
Well, that's, I think, it's the old, it's very popular now. It's going to grow in popularity as we go. Mm-hmm. And certainly, as you can see, since today's show is about biking, mm-hmm. Not as much hiking as biking, but at the same time, it's all part of the same idea, the same concept of getting cars off the road, getting people out to do the exercise, enjoy the fresh air, and at the same time, by getting less cars on the road, we're creating more fresh air, or destroying less fresh air, I should say. And I think it's a good the Greenway Coalition of people, you seem to be working with lots of people.
Yes.
It's good to have the support of the freeholders, I guess, to continue the leadership on it. But there's a lot of pieces of this puzzle.
Yes. Yeah, the partnering is needed because that way you get your strength so that the Lime bikes that were just introduced in Metuchen, we can see the increase of those being used on the Greenway. So there's no reason why that won't keep on growing. The uses that of the trail for all these host of reasons is something that we have to get a better job of getting the word out.
Well, I think you're doing a great job. Now, when did this start? I guess it started a while ago. It doesn't happen overnight. Right. And there's still more pieces to go that you're going to be working on for years into the future. So,
absolutely, because the need for this transportation options in a congested area is invaluable. So that someday we can connect with Rutgers. There are times that we're going to be doing hubs in the different areas of activities that do need you to go there, not necessarily by a car. And this is what people are finding out. And we don't want it to be a hidden treasure. We want it to be something that's used by the mass majority out there. And also visitors. It could be a destination point, too.
Which is an important part. When we
absolutely.
Talk, we did a show a couple weeks ago about travel and tourism and the impact of that.
Right. One of the things I just want to make sure that our listeners know is that there is a mobile map app available through the Middlesex County website that you can download onto your smartphone. So that way now those people who have that capability can get to the trail for directions. They can find out what's on the trail, what's nearby the trail for stopping, and then your Lime bikes too. You're using your smartphone more as a great tool, and this is something that is both helpful and also secure. You know, if there's ever a need, you can get to help right to the spot where you're at, no matter what part of the trail you are, and it'll tell you where you're at. So look into the Middlesex County mobile map app on your website.
And a very primitive way to keep Middlesex moving still has the Middlesex County bicycling map.
Yes.
A bicycling guide is provided to anybody free who's interested in it. It has all the bike paths that are throughout the county. Not, I shouldn't say all of them, because it is a couple years old. There's been so many added since then. But if anybody's interested, go on KMM.org, and we will send you a free bike map, a bicycle guide. Since we're wrapping up in the last few minutes, I know there was a discussion we had earlier about not just bikes, but scooters and how important they are. Jack, you were talking about scooters being what you see as a future as much as bikes.
Yeah, I was out in San Diego about a year ago, and I saw there was the bicycle share on the street and the scooter share, and most of the young people were using the scooters. The bicycles were sitting there and the scooters were being used. It seemed a faster and easier way for that age group to use. So I thought that would be great at Rutgers. So I'm really hoping that the e-scooters become legal, because I think that is really would take off as well.
Can I get a scooter with a seat? Is that possible? What do you think?
No, that's called a rascal, Bill.
Is there a name for it? Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that's for the supermarket for you. That's all.
Okay. Back to my college days, huh?
Exactly.
But thank you all for joining us. I think we had an interesting show talking about how the future is going to be. Assemblywoman, keep up the leadership in the state level. Councilman, keep up the good work on a local level. Our university needs to keep moving ahead. And Bob, the Greenway is going to become one of the most shining jewels in Middlesex County, a great place for people to use and spend their time. Thank you all for joining us today. We appreciate you taking your time out of your schedule to do it. And keep on biking.